Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Again, as we heard last Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent, the devil promises glory without suffering. This is how he tempts us. This is how he tempted our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive bread without the sweat of your brow. Have proof of God's divine protection without faith and trust in him and his promises. Receive all the kingdoms of the world and their glory without bearing your cross. But for God, of course, it's quite the opposite. There is no glory that comes without suffering. God never gives anyone great blessing without putting that person through first great hardship. The examples in the Holy Scripture are too numerous to name. I'll name just a few. Joseph, a little bit later on in the book of Genesis, son of Jacob, became a great man in all of Egypt. First, he had to be sold into slavery, falsely accused of sin, cast into prison, and then forgotten by the man he helped. The patriarch Job, in the end, received a double blessing of all that he had before. The Lord restored his fortunes greatly. But first he had to endure the most profound suffering in the world, far beyond anything that we could imagine. David became the great king of Israel, was anointed, a man after God's own heart, and yet first he was treated by suspicion, or with suspicion, by King Saul, and hunted down by that king and his armies like a dog. And of course we have the two examples presented before us today in our scripture lessons, both Old Testament and Gospel. Jacob, to whom the promise and the blessing and the birthright had been given. Through his line, the Messiah would come. In his seed, in his offspring, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And in addition to that great promise, he would very soon have great joy at the friendly greeting granted to him by his estranged brother Esau and the joyful reconciliation between these two brothers. But first, he had to fall into great distress and anguish, not only in the house of his father-in-law, but then, as he prepared to meet his brother on the way. And then, in our gospel lesson today, the Canaanite woman suffered an unimaginable torment watching her daughter, her little girl, suffer demonic oppression. And if that weren't enough, she also had to suffer the apparent indifference and even hostility of the Lord whom she sought, before she received the answer to her prayers and the healing she requested. From these, and again many other examples in Holy Scripture and the plain teaching of God's Word, we can see that this is how God works in the lives of his people. He sends trials and tribulations upon them. He permits them to suffer. Again, up to this point, Jacob had just narrowly escaped the anger of his father-in-law, from whose home he had left with his wives and children. And as he journeyed, he lived in great fear of his brother Esau, who had breathed murderous threats against him because of how that birthright had been stolen and that blessing had been taken right from under his nose. And again, the Canaanite woman had an unspeakable misery watching her child, her daughter, severely oppressed by a demon. God permits suffering in the lives of his people. But then we see from these texts and others that God will often increase the trial. He'll make the burden heavier. When it seems as though our sorrows are deep enough, and we cannot bear any more, God will sometimes make it worse. And so we find in our Old Testament lesson that as Jacob was praying in the dark of the night, he was seized by a stranger and wrestled with him as if he was there to hurt him harm him, even kill him. It seemed that in the end, perhaps God had forsaken Jacob and would keep him from entering that land that he had promised to him and to his fathers. But he had forgotten his word. God, in the end, was angry with Jacob. And then, of course, when the Canaanite woman came to Jesus for help, for mercy, her hardship seemed only to be made worse. Because at first, as you heard, Jesus acted as if he didn't hear her. But he wouldn't even dignify her plea with a response. And if that's not bad enough, then sometimes we'll even seem to set himself against you. Not only must we endure the trials and tribulations of this world, sufferings and sorrows that come from life in a fallen creation, then sometimes it even seems that our God is opposed to us. The man with whom Jacob wrestled was none other than the God who had made such promises to him. His divine omnipotence was made very plain to Jacob. Just touched Jacob's hip, and all of a sudden it went out of socket. The fact that he could dislocate Jacob's hip with a mere touch indicated how easily he could kill him. And again, when Jesus spoke to the Canaanite woman, after at first ignoring her, his response was quite harsh, sharp. He didn't concern Jesus. He'd only come to help the children of Israel. And then he declared her to be unworthy of help, little more than a little dog in his eyes. All scripture is written for our instruction, and so we learn from these accounts that God still works in our lives in this manner today. And again, it isn't enough that we should contend with the sinful world, be afflicted by our own flesh, come to blows with the devil. Sometimes we must even struggle with God himself. And when times like this come upon you, when you suffer such tribulation as a Christian that it seems that God has forgotten you, has forgotten his promises, that he's decided not to listen to your prayers anymore, that he's not going to save you, but he's content to let you perish in sorrow and struggle. So this is the most difficult trial that any Christian can bear. Compared to this, contending with the devil, the world, and the sinful nature seems easy. Sometimes Christians have to strive with God, have to wrestle with God, until it feels as though all faith and hope, prayers and petitions, all of it is just futile and in vain. But we know this from Scripture, again, is not only written for our instruction, but also for our encouragement and endurance. God works all things for our good. God loves us with an everlasting love. And whatever God brings into your life, he brings because he loves you. Unlike the devil, who promises you an easy glory, immediate comfort, and yet has your ultimate doom in mind, God brings trials and tribulations, and even strives with you himself, not for your doom, but for your good, your glory, for your salvation. God strives with you, his people, in order to create and strengthen faith in your hearts. As God testifies, he desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their evil ways and live. And sometimes to accomplish this, God sends heavy crosses upon them, so that they might turn from sin and turn to him in faith. God lays crosses upon us, not to crush us into the dust, not to ruin us forever, but rather that he might kindle and stir up and build up in us a faith that stands firm, enduring all the storms of life, that burns brightly even in the darkest of nights. This is how God works. This is what is testified. We find this, for example, in Isaiah chapter 26, who prophesies, "O Lord, in distress they sought you. They poured out a whispered prayer when your discipline was upon them." In Psalm 119, states, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Distress, discipline of the Lord, affliction, all given to his people, so that they might seek him, they might pray to him, they might learn his word. Indeed, these trials are sent to us by God, so in the end we would learn to rely on him and on him alone, not on ourselves, not on our own reason or strength, not in any other people. And as the scriptures testify, we trust not in princes. They are human, they are mortal. But rather, these trials are granted to us that we might rely on God alone. And so sometimes God will postpone the answer to our prayers so that we would be all the more zealous and devoted to him in prayer, that we might have joy and thanksgiving all the greater when our prayers are answered. This is what happened with Jacob in his anxiety and fear over what would happen when he met his brother Esau. He was encountered by a man who decided to wrestle with him all night. And indeed, Jacob wrestled. He didn't run away. He didn't sigh and let himself be overcome. He didn't pity himself. He strove. He took hold of the man. Struggled with him. And note that even when his hip was put out of joint with a mere touch, even when the man who did this to him said, "Let me go," Jacob did not. He was persistent. Refused to give up until he had received the blessing that God had promised. This is also true for the Canaanite woman. She came to her Lord Jesus in prayer. And when he was silent, she continued persevering steadfastly in prayer, crying out after him. She would not be silent, but prayed all the more. And then when Jesus stated that he hadn't come for people like her, "No," she said, she clung to the promise that you have in fact come for me, for you came to seek and to save the lost. You came because God so loves the world. You came for sinners like me. And then when Jesus said that she wasn't worthy of his help, she didn't argue at that point. But neither did she give up. Instead, she humbled herself. She confessed that she was neither worthy of the things for which she prayed, nor had she deserved them. But instead relied on the goodness of her Lord. Again, this is true for us. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "We felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." How do they know? How do we know? How do they know that God was not their enemy, but in the end would keep his promise? How do we know that when God sets himself against us, when he is silent to our prayers, when he even seems to oppose us, that he actually loves us and will provide for us? They knew, and we know, from the promises of God themselves, which never fail, which never fall away, which stand forever. In the midst of his wrestling match, Jacob remembered that God had indeed called him, that he had indeed blessed him, that he had indeed promised never to leave him. And so in that faith, Jacob had renewed courage and strength, not only to wrestle with that man all night long, but then to lay hold of him, grasp him, and not let go. "You cannot overcome me," Jacob thought. "For God is with me. Who can be against me? You cannot overpower me, for God's will shall be done." And I know from the promise that God's will is that all nations will bless me for the sake of his promise. So I will not let you go until you bless me too. The woman too cried out to Jesus, not claiming any merit or worthiness of her own, but solely relying on his gracious mercy and the promises that she had heard. She knew through the word that she had heard that this man, this son of David, was none other than the Lord in the flesh. And therefore she cried out to him, Lord, have mercy upon me, believing that this man walking before her was the Lord God, is the Lord God, ever shall be the Lord God, who possesses all power and authority in heaven and on earth. And she trusted that this man, the Lord, who is also the son of David, the king of Israel, was her king. For she believed all those promises of the Old Testament, that the true Israel is not the Israel of blood, but rather the Israel of faith. That she, though being Canaanite or Syrophoenician, as the other Gospels put it, though not of the bloodline of Jacob, was indeed of the household of Israel. For she shared Israel's faith. She trusted in the son of Jacob. She knew that she was part of those nations who would be blessed in the seed of Jacob, the seed of Israel. She called out to this man Jesus, the Lord God, acknowledging that he was her brother. Not ashamed of that fact either, but willing to help her in every need. The promises of God find their yes in Jesus. It was Jesus with whom Jacob wrestled. He is a man, as Moses writes, we heard this in Genesis, and he's truly God, as Jacob testified, as we also heard. It was Jesus who spoke to the Canaanite woman and answered her prayers. And it is Jesus who answers our prayers also. For in time he became incarnate, true man in flesh and blood, having a body like our own. And in that flesh, in that body, he too suffered. He too died. But in time he was glorified. The Lord Jesus, who has striven with man, himself strove in his holy passion, in order that we would be delivered from everlasting death and condemnation. Like his forefather in the flesh, Jacob, Jesus did not give up, remained steadfast until he had won the blessing for all mankind. Like the Canaanite woman, his daughter according to faith, he humbled himself and remained obedient even to the point of death, even death on the cross. And as we heard on Wednesday in that lesson from Philippians, therefore God has highly exalted him and granted him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. It is true, there is no glory without suffering, but for the Christian, you have this unshakable promise that glory will always follow your sufferings. Again, God allowed Jacob to prevail, and he blessed him with the most honorable name, Israel. When Jacob clung to the man with his courageous faith, when he was convinced in his heart that he would not be destroyed for the sake of God's promise, that's when the Lord Jesus permitted himself to be overcome. Indeed, when Jacob felt that God might be furthest away, he was actually closer than ever. So close that Jacob saw him face to face. The Canaanite woman also received that for which she prayed. She strove with God, like her forefather according to faith, Jacob, and she too prevailed, though ignored and dismissed and even insulted. She prevailed by holding fast to the Lord in faith through it all, trusting the unshakable promises of his word. On the second Sunday in Lent, We continue our journey to the cross. We pray, dear Jesus, grant us strength to wrestle with you. Grant that we would hold fast to you without wavering. For without your strength, we could never cling to you. But in the strength of the Lord, we can say with Jacob, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Our struggles, we cling to God's word and promise. We hold on to him with steadfast faith, and we won't let go until we have an answer. Like the Canaanite woman, we fall at Jesus' feet and do not go away, even if we have to pray ourselves to death. We do this because God has commanded us to pray and has promised to hear us. Jesus says, come to me, and we come. He says he will cast no one out, and therefore we will not leave. We continue to pray until he blesses. The Lord, though at first he may appear to be your opponent, loves you with an everlasting love. He knows your heart. He sees and regards the true faith that is there, and this he counts to you as righteousness. God is faithful. He will not utterly destroy you, but rather he will permit himself to be overcome by you and grant what he knows to be good for you. Like with Jacob, when God seems furthest away, quite near, and his mercy is with you. And therefore, dear Christians, do not grieve when the Lord sends you hardship. For weeping may tarry for the night. Joy comes with the morning. Soon God will fill you with a great joy, a joy that no one will take from you. It happened for Jacob. He overcame and received the blessing. He received the name Israel. He rejoiced that he had seen God face to face and lived. The Canaanite woman received the answer to her prayers. In that moment, her daughter was healed, and she was honored by her Lord Jesus, who even rejoiced over her faith. Our Lord Jesus himself suffered, was crucified, but on the third day he rose again. Suffering is followed by glory. Lent is followed by Easter. That's not just true in the church here. It's true in your life. For though the sufferings you endure last but for a moment, they are not even worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in you. For God's sake, you have received a blessing, a name, and a life that is never going to be taken from you. You will receive that for which you pray. Your Lord will rejoice over you. Again, in Jesus, your sufferings have a purpose, that you might see your Lord face to face and rejoice. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.